Happy St. David's Day to you. Is that all right? You've got an Englishman on St. David's Day. That's great, isn't it? Shows a reflection of our society. We love heroes. We love the fact that they come in and they save the day. They rescue. Everything's okay when you've got a hero. And everything seems nice and normal when you've got a hero. And we've been celebrating St. David's Day. You know, St. David is a national hero. We just talked about Wales. Simon gave a great illustration of why we love Wales. And it's a day to celebrate Wales. And one of the things you do is you have a patron saint of Wales. And David was a man many, many years ago that went around telling people, he was a good man, he was a bishop, and he went around telling people about Jesus. There's a famous story that you know where once he was preaching, and the story goes that the ground rose up so that he could be lifted up and be seen by everyone who was speaking. That sounds like a pretty heroic miracle to happen when St. David was preaching. And this morning we're going to look at another hero of the Bible. In the Bible, there's a lot of heroes in the Bible. And one of the ones that we're going to look at this morning is Joshua. Joshua is a Bible hero. Now, he has all the qualities of a hero. He leads the way for others. He sets the standard. He's brave. He's courageous. He makes some good decisions. You see, what happened was long ago, there were some people that God had chosen would be his people. And these people became slaves in a land called Egypt, which was thousands of miles from where they wanted to be. And God made a man, another hero called Moses. And God called Moses to go and rescue the people. And in rescuing the people, they had to go across this big water called the Red Sea. And God miraculously allowed the water to open so they could go through, because their enemy, the king of Egypt called Pharaoh, was chasing them. And so they went through into this place because God had said, I'm going to take you to the promised land. There was a land that God wanted to give them. And when Moses died, the next hero that came along was Joshua. And Joshua is our hero. He's the one that God is going to use to bring the freedom to the people. He's the one that God is going to use to say, these are the people and you are going to be free. God had rescued the people, and Joshua is his man that he's going to do it. So let's pick up the story. It says this. While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from the time of the Israelites, they ate the crops of Canaan. The Canaan was the new land where God was going to, the promised land where God wanted to take his people. And Joshua was the hero who was going to take them there. Now, one of the things that they did, and we've done it this morning, is what they did was where they celebrated getting into the promised land. But you see, when Joshua took over from Moses, they had to go through another river. And they needed another miracle from God. And as God did a miracle and he allowed his people of about 2 million people, just a bit less than the number of population of Wales, to cross into the promised land, then instead of before them where there were lots of things that were going to be challenges, but they celebrated. It said they had the Passover. Now, what was the Passover? What was that about? Really, it's a celebration. It's a way to remember some of the things that God has done. And we've done it this morning. How many of you have had a Welsh cake? The brandy Welsh cakes were nice, weren't they? Did you enjoy those? You don't know. I don't know if they were brandy Welsh cakes. Were they brandy Welsh cakes? We had them before. Sorry? Bailey's Welsh cakes. There we are. Bailey's Welsh cakes. So we have a Welsh cake. Now, what does the Welsh cake do? The Welsh cake speaks of the Welsh home, doesn't it? When you look at the history of the Welsh cake, it was done so that children could have it in their packed lunches and so that miners could put it in their pockets when they went down the mines. And it speaks of home, and it speaks of everything that's good about being Welsh. So when we celebrate being Welsh, when we celebrate St. David's Day, when we celebrate with daffodils like Matthew spoke about earlier, we have Welsh cakes. We have a meal to remember who we are. And that's what these guys were doing. The Passover was a meal to remember who they were. It was a meal to remind them of what God had done. We do it at Christmas with Christmas pudding. We do it at Easter with hot cross buns. We do it at weddings with wedding cakes. We have these elaborate wedding cakes and we're reminded of a special occasion. And we often use eating to remember the good things. And God wants us to carry on doing that. That's why we have the Welsh cake. God wants us to be people that remember the good things that he's done and who he is. You see, what the people were remembering, there's the Welsh cakes, I'm a bit behind on my slides. What the people were remembering was this, is that God had set about a rescue plan. You see, I don't know about you, but there are these programs that our family, our boys particularly, they like watching. They're like search and rescue, the most daring rescues, and they're on TV. I think they're on Channel 4 or Channel 5. And what it shows is like there was once this boat that was in trouble. It was dark, it was nighttime, and this boat was in just off the coast of Canada, and it was in trouble, and it was going to go down, and all the people were going to be drowning, the raging storm that was going on. And they have a phone call, and they send out a distress signal, and they phone through to the coast guards on the land. Now, probably that, you know, the helicopter crew and the driver's probably sleeping in bed, you know, enjoying a nice cozy night. I don't know if they got one of these like red phones, you know, like the normal phone and the red phone, the special phone. And the red phone goes. Now, I don't know what you're like at night. Maybe you jump up and you go, oh, it's the middle of the night. Isn't that lovely? But probably the temptation when the phone starts ringing to stay in bed was, oh no, do I have to get out of bed? But that person is committed to their job and they answer the phone and they say, yes, you need to get in your helicopter and you need to kind of fly out into the storm and you need to rescue the people on this boat. Now, what I don't understand is how they always have cameras around when these accidents happen. Isn't that amazing? Whenever there's an accident, there's always a camera. It's great. So the helicopter pilot, what he does is he gets his helicopter the dark of night and you see the screen and there's the wind and the rain and this bright light begins to appear from the corner. And as it appears, more and more and more comes into view. Then the rescue guys, they get out and they winch and they go down and they rescue all these guys off the boat and they take them back to safety. And that's what God did. You see, his people were in slavery. They were being oppressed by the rulers. They were in a place where it wasn't very nice for them. And they were crying out and saying, God, please rescue us. Please set us free. And God decided that he would leave the cozy comfort and he would come in with the form of Moses. He used Moses as a hero before Joshua to go into the storm, to go into where they were and set about a rescue escape plan. And so when they were celebrating the Passover, when they were enjoying the Welsh or the Israelite version of a Welsh cake, they were remembering that God had helped them to escape from these oppressors and these people that were making life difficult. And he set about a rescue plan. And it made them thankful. You know, if we'd been slaves for many years, we'd want to remember when we were set free. And these people were set free. And the Bible talks about the fact that this was a celebration. It wasn't just a, oh, let's just do this. It was a celebration. It was a reminder that God had rescued and set them free. You know what it's like when you're on a journey? Those of you that have children, you probably experience this. When you've got small children in the back of your car and you're driving along and the children are going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you're kind of like, and they begin to argue a little bit and the noise increases in the car. And you get to that point and you're like, you're looking for the sign, aren't you? And there's a sign you're looking for. And it's a very special sign. And you're going around the bend and around on the dual carriageway. And then suddenly you see the sign and everything's going to be okay. And it's the double M. It's the M, the golden arches. And it's the M McDonald's. You think, oh, look, we can pull in. Children, let's have a McDonald's and you can have a Happy Meal and everything's happy and wonderful. It's true, isn't it? It does work. Seriously, it really works. Well, you see, what happened was, these Israelites, when they were being rescued, they needed to have something to eat. So what God did was he made a plan that not only was he going to rescue them, he was going to provide a McDonald's every day. It was called manna in those days. That's the Hebrew for McDonald's. But he provided some McDonald's every day on the ground, and he provided for them. So not only did God put in a plan of rescue, not only were they celebrating that God had set them free, but God had provided for them all the way along the journey. And now they were coming into a place where they were going to enjoy all the good things that God had promised, all the good things that God had wanted to give them. But along the way, they remembered that God had provided for them. He'd been with them. And he provided the M, the McDonald's of the manna, into their lives. And they were going now. It was a little bit like you have McDonald's, but sometimes you need to have a Burger King, don't you? Just to get the balance out. Or if you like Pepsi and Coke, they're both great, but sometimes one you prefer than the others. And they're going into a season now where God is still going to provide, but in a different way. So they go from Pepsi to Coke or McDonald's to Burger King. So that's where we're up to. The children of Israel, the people of God, are celebrating the fact that God has rescued them, God has saved them, God has provided for them. Now that sounds like a pretty good party, doesn't it? And we do it, don't we? We have weddings, for example. There's my wedding slide. You know, when we have our weddings, what happens? Well, you have the serious ceremony, that the marriage ceremony, where the bride comes down the aisle and it's lovely, and we have the commitment of the vows, and we commit to one another in our marriage. And then we go out and we have the photographs and we have the reception meal. And then normally the position of the cake is at the end of the meal, isn't it? And it's actually not the end of the meal, it's the beginning of the next chapter. For those of us that are enjoying the party, it's probably the end of the party, the end of the meal. We're feeling pretty full up. We've had a wonderful day and we enjoy the cake. But for the couple, it's actually the end of that day, but the beginning of a new season. And that's what was happening with these guys. God had taken them into a place and he said, you don't need McDonald's anymore. There's another way. It's a different way. And I'm going to provide for you. And so when they move into the promised land, they get to feast on something different that is actually the beginning of the next chapter. So they're celebrating what's gone on, but there's also another chapter that's about to begin. And that leads us on nicely into the next part of our story. Joshua was a military leader, and he realized that even though God had helped him to escape and God had rescued him, there were still some battles ahead. They were in a land where the Bible says that it flowed with milk and honey. They were in the promised land. And the story tells us that in that land, they were going to have to go in and overcome some of the giants in the land. And there were lots of different things that they were going to have to do. So Joshua is like a modern day James Bond. And he's out there doing some reconnaissance work. He's looking around and trying to get a strategy of Jericho. And if you want to know what happens in the story, then can I encourage you, come next week and you'll hear exactly what happens in the story, what Joshua does and how the children of Israel do what God wants them to do in the next stage of the journey. But he's looking around and he sees a man. And a man, not just an ordinary man, but it says a man with a sword drawn and dressed in armor, ready for battle. And this man approaches him. Now Joshua was probably thinking, I came out here on my own. Who is this guy? Where's he come from? And Joshua had already been encouraged by God to be brave and courageous. And he's out there being brave and courageous. But he looks up and he sees, he's confronted with this man. And he doesn't know what to say. So he says to him, are you with us or are you with the enemy? Whose side are you on? Joshua was always thinking in terms of battle because he's a military man. He's a military leader. He's a military hero. And he's thinking of battle and he's thinking, are you with us or are you with them? Probably kind of getting his sword ready in case he says, I'm with them, and he's going to get ready to do some battle. And this person that he meets, actually, the most amazing thing is it's Jesus. It's Jesus in the commander of the armies. And he says this, it's really, really exciting. You see, before this happened, Jesus has had some times when he's come into the Old Testament, in the story of the Bible, where we read all the things where God is preparing a people and God wants to have a relationship with people and be with people because he loves them and he created them because he wants to be with them. And at different points in the story, he comes and meets with different people. And he met with Abraham through a traveler, because Abraham was a traveler and he was nomadic and he moved around. And then he met with Moses through the burning bush and the experience of the burning bush, because Moses was a shepherd. And it reminds us that when Jesus is meeting here with Joshua, he's meeting him as a commander of an army. And it reminds us that Jesus meets us just where we are. He knows what we need. He knows what you need this morning. He knows what you need. For some of you, you might need to know that Jesus comes alongside you as a brother and as a friend. Some of you might need to know that Jesus is your healer and he can set you free and he can heal you. Some of you need to know that Jesus is your father, and what that means to you is going to be very powerful to you. That Jesus is your father. He comes on with God the Father. He's your father. And Jesus has lots of different names because he meets us exactly where we are. He knows what we need and he knows what we need to have at a particular time. And Joshua was at that moment and he needed encouragement. And Jesus meets with him. And when Joshua said, whose side are you on? Are you on their side or are you on our side? This is what he said. Are you friend or foe? He said, neither. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. In other words, what he was saying in this encounter, in this amazing experience that happened, he said, Joshua, it's not about whether I'm on your side or I'm on their side. You're on my side. I'm in charge. I'm the commander. I'm in control. I know what's going on. I hold the whole world in my hands, and you can be on my side. It was an invitation to Joshua to say, actually, it's not about me against the enemy. I can be on Jesus' side. And it's really encouraging for us to read that we read that God says, you know, often we kind of think it's us against the world or us in this way. And in this amazing encounter, we understand that Jesus is saying to Joshua, the solution to life, the solution to enjoying the best of life is to choose my side. Choose to be on the Jesus side. Don't choose England, don't choose Wales, either is good. Choose the Jesus side. And Joshua was being reminded of the importance of being on the Jesus side. Now, Joshua is a hero, and he's the one we look up to and we aspire to be like. But like all of us, he needed a little bit of a reminder as he went on life's journey. And it reminded me that we often need reminders of things, don't we? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tasked with going to the shops on the way home. And get tasked to go to some of the shops and pick up a few things. Now, that's a little bit dangerous in our house. So Helen has to write down on a list, like, these are the 5 things you get, and only these 5. And then, like, during the day, I might get a text, remember the 5 things on the list. Now, I love going into these places, and you go and you think, oh, actually, we need some of that, and we need some of that. And often I get what's called illegal goods. Now, they're normally like chocolates or wine, nice things like that. But Helen has to remind me to keep on task and to get the right thing. You know, I feel that when you've seen one shop, you've seen them all. The mall, the shops. But, you know, Joshua the hero needed a reminder. And what was the reminder about? You see, the story of when God wanted to rescue his people and he wanted to set them free and give them into the place where they were going to have freedom, it had happened 40 years before. The hero before Joshua was Moses. And God had come to Moses and said, I want you to rescue the people. And Moses had been in the bush and around the bush. And the Bible tells us in the story that Moses was out looking and he saw a bush that wasn't burning. And he went closer to take another look. And as he went closer, he heard the bush calling his name, saying, Moses. That's a little bit like us with children, isn't it? You know, when you're saying, we're going out. And then we're going out. You need to get ready. And then when you really want their attention, you say, right, John, we're going out. Please put your shoes on. And God was getting Moses' attention and saying, Moses, I'm choosing you. You're the hero of the moment, and you're going to help to rescue these people. And Joshua would have been reminded of that because of all the things. What did God want to remind him about? He wanted to remind him that he would be with him, that he was a faithful God, that he was going to have a plan for him from then that is still being worked out now. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that God wants to reveal his plan for our lives. God's got a plan for us. When we join the Jesus side, when we take sides and become part of Jesus' side, then actually we're reminded that God has a plan for us, which is better than the one that we think we have. And God was reminding Joshua in this awesome encounter of how much he loves him, of how much he was calling him to be the person and to lead the people. You know, we all like to be reminded, don't we, that God loves us. And it's good to be reminded again that God loves us. God has chosen us. God wants us to be on his side. It's not about us against the enemy. It's about us choosing to take sides with Jesus, choosing to be on the Jesus side, because Jesus is the best side. You know, Jesus, he didn't just say, I'm going to rescue you. He did like the helicopter pilot. He got out of, the Bible says that he came out of heaven, and he came down into the earth, into the storm of life. And Jesus said, I'm going to come and live as a man. And I'm going to come and be with people because they need rescuing. Now, what do we need rescuing from as people? We need rescuing from ourselves. We need rescuing from the decisions that we make that aren't good, the choices that we make that are going to have bad consequences. We need to be rescued from the things that we do wrong and the times that we mess up. And what Joshua is being reminded of here reminds us of Jesus, that Jesus came on a rescue mission. He came to help us to escape from a life of unhappiness and unfulfilledness, because he says, I know what's best for you. I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good and not for bad. And Jesus, this reminds us that Jesus came on a rescue mission. You see, but Jesus' rescue mission was the most awesome thing that ever happened, because Jesus came to earth and he didn't do anything wrong. And he did lots of good to people, and he was full of love and kindness, and he showed us and he modeled how to live in relationship with God. But then the people, they killed him and they put him on a cross, as it was in those days, the cross, that was a form of execution. But Jesus is alive. And after 3 days, Jesus came back to life. And that resurrection life that Jesus has enables us to have life today. And Jesus says, when you choose to have life with me, it's not a life of hopelessness and purposelessness. It's a life of purpose and life and joy and peace. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Those helicopter pilots, when they're out in the storm, I'm sure it's not an easy job to keep the helicopter in place, to make sure that everything is stable in the rescue mission. I think that's why it's called the most dangerous mission, search and rescue. But Jesus says, when you're on my side, I will be with you. You see, what Jesus does is that when we join his side, I'm going to move on now. When we're connected to Jesus, he reveals promises to us that help us to live every day. He doesn't just rescue us out of a situation. He provides for us. And he says, I'm going to take you into a land that is going to be the best for you. I'm going to help you to live in the way that's the best for you. See, often we choose things that aren't always the best for us. And God says, I'm going to fulfill my promises to you. I know what's best for you. If you allow yourself, if you choose to be on my side, then you will know what's the best thing to do and the best way to live. So God gives us these promises. Promises number one like this. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord will keep watch over you as you come and you go, both now and forever. As we celebrate St. David's Day, as we celebrate what God has done, as we celebrate the escape plan, the rescue plan of God, we are reminded that God has got a purpose and a plan for us, and he watches over us, and he wants to be with us, and he cares about you. He cares about the decisions that you make. He cares about the things that you're going through. He cares about all the different things that make up your life that maybe other people don't know about. God cares about those things. And he says, I watch over you. I watch when you come and when you go. And it's a promise. Because you see, God is in the business of reminding us that he keeps his promises. He doesn't just say things, he keeps his promises. He says, the Lord God will always be at your side. He will never abandon you. He will never leave you. He will never leave us. And so we're just encouraged this morning in the story of Joshua, that when the guardian, the commander of the army came in front of him in the story and said, and he was there, and Joshua said, whose side are you on? Either you're on our side or the enemy's side. And he said, no, you be on my side. It's an invitation to join the Jesus side. It's an invitation that we want to give out to you at Cornerstone this morning, to say, maybe for the first time, some of you are thinking, I don't know whose side I'm on. Jesus says, join my side. It's the best side. It's a side where you will have a purpose in life, and I will be with you. I will never leave you. I love you. I sent Jesus to die for you and to give you a new life, where I can take care of all the things that you've done wrong. I forgive you of all those things, and you can live in a new way. Jesus says, join my side. And as we celebrate St. David's Day, and we celebrate all that's good about being Welsh, maybe a few years ago you made a choice to follow Jesus. Let's celebrate the fact that you chose to be on Jesus' side, remembering what he has done for you, remembering where he's brought you from, how he's provided for you, and how you are now, who you are, because you're on the Jesus side. And you made a choice a few years ago that it wasn't going to be you against them, it was going to be you joining the Jesus side. So let's pray together as we just come together, because I just want us just to still our hearts. Just be reminded of the promises of God. They're an encouragement to you this morning. God says, I will always be at your side. I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. When we encounter Jesus, we know that he never leaves us. We can celebrate that. We can be at peace at that. Maybe some of you need to be encouraged this morning that, like the McDonald's, God will provide daily for you. God will provide. In the story of Joshua the hero, when God chose him to help set the people free, there's a message of freedom. Jesus says, when you choose my side, there is a freedom of life. You don't need to be enslaved by the things that worry you, the fears, the cares of life. I will set you free. And when you celebrate being Welsh and being part of St. David's Day, and you remember all the good things about being Welsh, and there are many, the invitation goes out. If you've never done it before, the invitation from Jesus is to say, I came so that you may have life. I came to give you life, new life, resurrection life, hope, joy, peace, to be your friend, to hold your hand in life, to never leave you nor forsake you. And so this morning, some of you, the response might be, Jesus, I want to be on your side. I want to join your team. I want to be on Jesus' side. And Joshua, when he was confronted, he responded. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is saying, let's respond. So just in the quietness of your heart, let's respond. Just say, Jesus, I'm on your side. Thank you that Joshua chose to be on your side and I choose to be on your side again. Thank you that you came to set us free. Thank you that you provide. Thank you for the reminders that you love us continually. Lord Jesus, we just surrender all and say, Lord, we're on your side. We want to be on your side. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you that you invite us and that when we are with you, there'll be times when we don't always know you're there, but you're always with us. You promise and you'll never leave us. And we can celebrate that you're always with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.